Okay, Prof. Good morning. Okay. So yesterday we spoke about the impossibility of the Nisoyin, and yet at the same time we spoke about the possibility of the Nisoyin because you're a shliach of Hashem in every mitzvah, in every Tzivoy, of every situation that Hashem puts us into, we are shlichim of Hashem, and if we're b'koyach of the Meshaleich. There we saw that manifested and expressed in the Na'ase v'Nishma, that was the koyach of the Malachim. We spoke about that at length yesterday. So yeah, he's going to say something, so we have to understand how you understand this, because it's a bit not what we said yesterday, but it's not, we'll see. Right at the bottom of Reish Samach Zayin, the last paragraph. Mashmois Dvarav Hi. What we can extract from everything we said yesterday. She'ein metziya sheba kodesh bochum etzavar ala adam omaa midoise minisoyin shelo yichol amoid. There's no such thing as Hashem commanding you or putting you in a soyin that you can't withstand. That's logical. If Hashem gives you a test you can't withstand, it's not a test. It's just a bashing. If you ask somebody to do something they can't do, that's not a test. They can't do it, so you just ask them to fail. That's obvious. However, Adam Ushliach Shel Hashem v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Nosam B'Yodes Kol HaKoyches Yanal Mayim B'Nisoyin. You on your own maybe can't withstand the Nisoyin, but Hashem will give you the Nisoyin in order to mechaber you to Hashem, so that you'll recognize, I can't do this. But Hashem asked me to do it, therefore I have to do everything I can, and then Hashem will be mashlim it for you. We'll have a look at the Mesillas Yesharim. There's 10 stages in the Mesillas Yesharim, correct? The last one is Begedet Chilosa Bavoide V'Seifa Bigmul. The 10th level you can't get to. It's not shy. So why is it there? Because you'll do nine, Hashem will give you the 10th one as a gift. That's what about you?
Sometimes Hashem doesn't give for whatever reason.
Doesn't give what?
Sometimes you jump five and Hashem just doesn't pull you the other three.
Nachon, then you fall, then you land right on your face on the mat. Yes.
So then that's a passion.
No, it's not. For whatever cheshboin is shemaim, we don't understand. That was what you needed. I don't know.
Nachon, the test itself.
Maybe it wasn't. First of all, maybe there wasn't a nisayon. First of all, you have to be 100% sure there was a nisayon. It wasn't you put yourself into the nisayon. Maybe Hashem didn't ask you to go there. So you don't know.
When it doesn't work, it's not. It's
no. Not work, you know. No. That's not being said. That's not being said. That's not what's being said. The problem we have is Hashem doesn't come to us. Naftuli. Hashem doesn't come to us. The Father knows you, yeah.
Father's here.
Everybody has to bring a note from their fathers. Hashem never comes to you. Let's divide this into two categories, first of all. In order to deal with this properly, you put into two categories. There's mitzvah. If Hashem asks you to do a mitzvah, you can do the mitzvah. There's not a question that if Hashem asks you, tells you to do something, but some of you to do something, that you can't do it. That's obvious. Yeah? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, law, see tzach, don't tell me it's impossible. And he chayv li tzach. Hashem told you not to kill. You can't kill. There may be matzavim where a person's onus. In other words, there's a mitzvah and you're onus. There is such a thing, onus of one apartment. Okay, but you have to be begetter onus. Fuck. Then there's a thing called nisayon. There's a nisayon. As we saw yesterday, there's different types of nisayonis. There's a nisayon where Hashem gives you a nisayon because he wants to show you what you're capable of achieving. So he asks you to do what you're capable of doing. And you go out and you do it. Sometimes Hashem will ask you to do a test, and that we saw is only rare creatures. Only rare people have those tests. Where he asks you to do something, and you can't do it in order to be Megala Kodesh Baruch in the world. So now, how do you know what it is? It's the first test, the second kind of test, the third kind of test. So he's asking, you have any soil, you have any soil, and you fall. So now, how would you ever know that, practically? Hashem never came to anybody and said, please jump far. You asked me to jump five, and I fell on my face at three. It's normally not happened. Normally you have an Nisoyon, you're in an Nisoyon, you're struggling, you're battling, you're grappling, you're fighting, you're ordealing, you whatever, and it's up and it's down or whatever. How do you know when you passed, failed, didn't fall? You never know. That's the problem. It's never clear cut. One thing's for sure, I can tell you this. Chazal tell us, Kabbalah maybe, if you have an Nisoyon, you're in the middle of an Nisoyon, and objectively, you know you can't handle anymore. Objectively, you know you can't handle anymore. That's the end of the test. The test can't carry on. That's the end of the test. You're not being tested anymore. Because objectively, you can't do anymore. So as long as objectively you've done everything you can, then that's the end of the test. I haven't thought about it properly, but Olaize, this is an example. When the Briskerov was in Vilna, I think it was in Vilna, they were bombing, maybe it was before he got to Vilna, but he was in Warsaw still. He had an apartment on the second floor, and there was bombing. There was whatever bombing is going on. So people wanted him to go down into the Miklat. They had a bomb shelter, whatever, under the building. Now he was Masupa, whether it was safer down in the bomb shelter, it was safer on the second floor. Both had Sukkonas, both had Milas, both had Misrainas. He was very agitated. He was going back and forth and downstairs, and the bombs were falling in the middle of the war. Yeah. Eventually, he came to the conclusion that it makes no difference. Halachically, it made no difference in terms of the mitzvah of Shmatim, whether he was upstairs or downstairs. So he told his kids, I'm going to bed tonight. He said, Shmatim, went to sleep. They sent him, I don't understand. 2 minutes ago, you were busy agitated. You're worrying about, will you live? The bombs are going to fall. Now you're going to sleep. He said, I wasn't worried about bombs. I was worried about being a Mekayim, the tzivoy, the mitzvah that Hashem gave me, v'shmata. It means I have to do the most seichel, because safest thing to do. When I came to the conclusion, it made no difference, which means there's nothing more I can do. I've done everything I can. I go downstairs, I'm going to stay upstairs. At the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference to the mitzvah, v'shmata. Now I don't have any more worries. Now I'm doing everything that I can do. I went to sleep. You've got to go to sleep. Got a busy day tomorrow. So the dugmaya, I'm saying it's not a perfect dugma, but the dugmaya is once you've done everything you can do, then there's no nisoyin anymore. You've done everything you can. And that's all you're ever going to be asked. You do whatever you could do. What he's saying, sometimes we don't start doing because we have a look at the situation. It looks hopeless. I can never do this. If Hashem put this on your table, you can. What you have to be very sure is that Hashem asked you to do this. Very often we take on things that are not ours. Very often we put ourselves into situations that Hashem never asked us to put ourselves into. Very often we get ourselves into a mess. Then there's no guarantees, because that's not a test, that you put yourself into a mess. It's not easy to know. You're right. It's not easy.
Could
to
it be
know.
That this job, which is, I don't know how to describe it, let's say it's 100 meters long, but really Hashem only wants you to do the first 50 meters of it?
Could be also.
You don't always know what.
You don't know. That's the problem. That's the hester point, that, of course. No one. But if anything, we have a Shulchan Aruch, and if a person filters what he's doing through Shulchan Aruch, and if he doesn't know what's in Shulchan Aruch, he has a Rav, he has a Rebbe that tells him what he's supposed to be doing. Then, and also you know yourself inside. If you're honest with yourself, you learn a bit of Musa, you learn 15, 20 Musa every day properly, you'll know for yourself. You'll know where the Nisoyin is, why the Nisoyin is. You'll know. You can't hide behind the bush and then say, well, I can't see anything. You have to go out there and make the effort to know. But what you do know is that if you're in a situation that Hashem put you into, then you have the koyach to deal with that situation. Daven, I mean, it comes with a whole lot of things. Daven, you have to do everything you can. Another brisker of Maisa that illustrates this. In Brisk, in the big shul, they wanted to copy the reformims and whatever, and they wanted a choir. Yeah, we mentioned this Maaseh before, maybe. Yeah, the Brisk Rovid had problems with the reforming. They wanted a choir. They built like a bama, like a platform in the shul. I think it was first day Rosh Hashanah, Lo Zocher, and the Gaboyim pulled the choir to go up. The Brisk Rovid was there on the Mizrach, and he pulled him to go down. He wasn't having enough choir in his shul. Yeah? And there was obviously there was politics between the Rov and the Balabatim, the Gaboyim. Anyway, so he told the story to Shlomo Rollins when he was trying to tell him that you have a chiyuv to do everything, even if the doing is not logical. So the Gaboim sent the choir back up to the rock. The Briskerov got up and he told them to go down again. This carried on a few times. The Briskerov said he knew he had no more koach to get up and go anymore. He knew, any koach to go up there anymore, told them to go down. So he decided he had koach to go up there once more. And after that, he was potter. There was nothing more he could do about it. So he went up once more and he told them to go down. And as they were going down, the Gaboim told them to go up. The woman started screaming from the Ezra's Noshim, the wives of the choir. Started screaming, Mazia Chutzpah Zeh, why aren't you listening to the Rav? Blah, 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 blah. And that was the end of the choir. Briskerov never davened in the shul again after that. Just make a minyan at home. He never went back to davening in the shul. Okay, but he explained like this. I, in Shemayim, are going to have to be asked, not why there was a choir. I'm going to be asked, did you do everything you could to stop the choir? At that point, I had done everything I could. There was nothing more I could do. If the woman had not started screaming, the choir had gone up there, whatever, there would have been a choir, Zelok Kishua like. Because I had done everything I could. Now, how do you know? The person has to know himself. The Briskerov knew how much more koyach he had. Any koyach. When you know that you can't do it anymore, then the nisayon for you is over. Now, either there'll be a choir, there won't be a choir, but that's not kashrut to you anymore. Hashem did a nice. And then there was no choir, but he never took any credit for there not being a choir because he knew it had nothing to do with him. And if there was a choir, it also had nothing to do with him. Because in Shemayim, all they're going to ask you is, did you do everything you could do in any given situation? Now, how do you know what's everything you could do? Well, there's conflicting things. If I didn't have a wife and children, then I could do much more over here. No, but I also have a wife and children, so I have to do things here. I have to take care of that, and I have to do this, and I also have to go to the bathroom, and I have to eat, and I have to... So there's conflicting energies. There's conflicting demands on my resources. So within the conflicting demands and my resources, did you do everything you could do in this particular situation? Yeah. Because I did everything I could do until 10 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock I have to give a shia. Now, does Shulchan Aruch say I'm allowed to bottle my shia in order to carry on doing that? Or no, I have to stop doing that and go do my shia. We have these challenges all the time. You always have more than one thing to do at a time. Now, I mentioned this in the breakfast shia. We always have more than one thing to do at a time. So what do? You choose to do what you're doing, and then you know that everything else Hashem's taken care of. Maybe you chose the wrong thing. Maybe it was better to give the shear and not carry on doing what you were doing. Okay, so you made a mistake. Making mistakes is wired into the system. We will all make mistakes. That's guaranteed. Guaranteed you'll make mistakes. We are error-making machines. We are designed to make mistakes. The guy who designed us made us so we make mistakes. That's for sure. Sorry? Good. I don't know if it's good or not, but that's how she made us. We are mistake-making machines, that's for sure. We make mistakes. You mentioned yesterday that the few people who never made mistakes, David the Melech's father and Moshe Rabbeinu's father, never ever made an avery, they never made a mistake. They died only because of the sin of Adam and Rishon. But their kids who did make mistakes, David and Moshe, achieved a heck of a lot more than them. They didn't make mistakes. We don't have Teres Amram. We don't have Yishai HaMelech. We have David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have Amram Rabbeinu. But he never did a sin in his life. He should have got the job. Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. Chumash is full of these mistakes. David HaMelech Tanakh is full of these mistakes. And look what they achieved. So, how do you know? They're more kashe. More kashe in a hestaponic. We don't have Nevuah. When we had a Navi, it was possible. You ask the Navi, he told you. We don't have Nevuah today. Today we have Chochma, so you have to go ask the Chochma. You have to have a Rav. You have to go ask Shah. What kashe? That's what makes the Nisoin sometimes is you don't have the Nisoin. Where the Nisoin? Is the Nisoin going to end? Did it end? But you know what your Nisoin is? Come on.
Just one quick question. If one sees an unfortunate incident and a person ends up exceedingly embarrassed and everyone's laughing, would it be wrong to laugh to join the ones that are laughing?
Somebody is in an embarrassing situation and people are laughing at him, should you join them to laugh at them? You're asking me that question. You honestly don't have the answer to that?
I think so. I think it would be wrong to to join them because this would be an effect on that person.
It says somebody embarrasses somebody in public doesn't go to Olam Haba.
No, I didn't say that. You an said embarrassing incident. Can I describe an incident?
No, just the principle. Somebody's in an embarrassing situation.
Someone ends up in an embarrassing.
Should you go there?
It looks very funny.
So should you go along? No, you shouldn't see it even. You shouldn't even see it. You saw it, so turn around and walk away. You shouldn't catch somebody in an embarrassing situation. You walk in the street and you see somebody slip on a banana peel.
Yeah.
Pretend like you never saw it. Turn around. Hey, why are you lying on the floor, kid? Oh, I slipped on a banana peel. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see. Can I help you up? You're going to get pleasure out of somebody else's discomfort. I don't understand what you're asking me. Should you be a barbarian? That's what you are. You, Rabbi, still asking me. Should I be a behemoth sometimes? Of course, being embarrassed. Go and rub somebody. Embarrassing more. I think it was Rav Chatzkel of Ramsky was walking to the yeshiva. He was in the shkiach in Ponovich. He was walking to the yeshiva. You'll like the story. And one of the bochrim, as he walked past his room, threw his nagel of water out of the window. And it landed on his head. He never looked up to see who it came from. He turned around and he walked home without flinching. You look up and see the bocher, you embarrass the bocher. There's a famous mice in Gateshead. Is it in Gateshead? Rublev Gurvitz, yeah. Rublev Gurvitz, yeah, in Gateshead. There were bochrim that were prankers, you know. Every yeshiva, you have the late sonim, you know what I'm talking about. You were there when Rublev was there. So you know the story that I'm going to tell you with the library? It could have been you. Then there's a whole story about you in Pesach Kron's last book. So this story came out at the Sudas Prater when the Bocher was leaving yeshiva. He told this story. Anyway, one of the Bochrim was a late, and they were in the library, and the door was locked. They were doing whatever they were doing. I don't know what they were doing. And Rablev needed a safer. They knocked on the door. And the Bochrim said, "Who's there?" So he said, "It's the Rosh Yeshiva." So they said, "Yeah, for sure." They thought it was another Bocher playing a prank on them. They said, yeah, for sure. Leib Gurvitz, yeah, for sure. Go away. Knocked on the door. Who's there? Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah, Rosh Yeshiva, blah, blah, blah. Good story, yeah? Nah, Rosh Yeshiva, go away. Who we know it's not you. Anyway, after a few times, the Bochum thought, you know what? Maybe it's the Rosh Yeshiva. So they quietly went and opened the door. Rublev pushed open the door, turned his head away. He walked to get the safe and he walked out. He never looked to see who the Bochum were. The Bocher that was in charge of this whole incident, a few years later, when he left the yeshiva, they made a suit of prayer for him. He said, had the Rosh Yeshiva known who it was then, he would have been too embarrassed to stay in the yeshiva, would have left the yeshiva, would have gone off the derech. It was only the Rosh Yeshiva's sensitivity not to cause another person embarrassment that he stayed intact after his mamash, the respect he had for the Rosh Yeshiva after that, and he stayed in yeshiva and became very successful. Now, why did Rablaib do that? How did he do that? I'm not worried about the Bocher. The Bocher law, the Beseder, that's an important story to know. I'm asking, how did Rablaib do that? Because Rablaib knew that if you embarrass somebody in public, you ain't going to get, you're not going to get aided. Rablaib made decisions based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I, as a Rosh Yeshiva, would want to know who that Bocher was. First of all, because my pride had been severely dented and my covet had been very badly harmed. You know, my two buttons at the back would have been flicking, covered. And also, discipline in the yeshiva is the law, and I would have wanted to know the bow, I would have taken out the scruff of his neck. But Blaise Gurwitz wasn't interested in himself or the Bocher. He wanted to know, what does Hashem want from here? Why did Hashem make these Bochrim lock the door and shout and make it covered and whatever? Hashem's giving me any sign. What's in his sign? Walk in and don't look. Now, to do that instinctively, that you've got to be a Rabbi Gurwitz for that. I don't know if instinctively I could do it. After the fact, it's partial. Everybody knows it's the right thing to do. When you're in the thrust of it, he's saying like that, local kach pashut. Moshe Feinstein got it down to such a fine art that his body knew how to do that. His body understood Shulchan Aruch. Because at the instant when his hand got caught in the door, he didn't have time to think. That wasn't because Rablaibia had a few moments to think about, okay, how am I going to deal with this? Okay, I'm not going to look. Because he filtered it through Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe, when his hand got caught in the door, he didn't have time to fulfill Shulchan Aruch. So he'd got to the point where his body was responding to the truth. I don't know how you do that. That's a reflex. How you get your reflexes to be in line with Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Suppose if you can get Rav Pinchas by your ears donkey to function according to Shulchan Aruch, Rav Moshe Fonson to function according to Shulchan Aruch at the body level. I don't understand that story. Anyway, but Rav Leiba, I understand. Because Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not allowed to know who they are. But it's the toeles and it's not. Not only am I embarrass somebody, it's a terrible avera to embarrass somebody. Terrible, terrible. Okay. Where do we get up to now? What was Reish Samach?
Reish Samach,
sorry. The wind's been blowing. Sorry, no, Reish Samach. That's why a person has to learn, he has to know Torah, and he has to learn Musa, and he has to have Yerushalayim, and he has to be functioning properly. Then it goes a bit easier. Just say Remizu, Shlicha zu eini Shlichas klalit, who pratis v'yichoidis v'kol echad v'echad. Very important to remember this. We're part of a group, and therefore we think what's happening to the group is a group problem. But the Nishoinis are usually Nishoinis prati. And you'll tell me, yeah, Corona was for everybody. I know, but I had my own personal nisoid and my own personal interaction with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's same as everyone else had their own unique interaction with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If Corona never taught you that, nothing will. The Shgacha practice of this event is astounding, beyond recognition. Astounding. So every nisoid, even though it looks like it may be klali, it's not. It's your own personal design for you, Nisoy. Shlichas. The whole world could die because of me, because I'm the whole world. The whole world, from the beginning, Adam Arishon, all the way through Avram, Moshe, Mashiach, everything, the whole world, is Bishvili, in order for me to go through in this world what I have to go through. For me to fulfill my mission in this world. It's also called Yisurin. Don't just think that this nisoyin is only my little nisoyin. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. It's going well. It's not so important. We'll see that each Jew, when he withstands, when he's in the nisoyin, has cosmic ramifications. We know that until every Jew does what he's supposed to be doing, the world can't come to its fruition. Same way as when an ois in the Sefer Torah is missing, we mentioned this. One ois in the Sefer Torah is missing, the whole Torah is possible. One Jew is missing from the Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So therefore, everybody has to withstand his nisoinus and do what he's supposed to do and fulfill his mission in this world in order for the whole thing to be shalom. And Kolzman, one person hasn't. The world's not shalom. Kolei doireis shelefonov, avois of skena, v'cheina doireis shelifneim. Achreinim, Mishonim, Megoinim, Amoreim, Tanoim, Nevi'im, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, Vavram Avinu. Kulam Oimdim, Metzapim, Mamtinin Loi, Umachailim, Shikavres, Yisuro, Va'avon. Everybody's waiting for me, for this little yid, to do what I was put in this world to do. Shiyamot Be'mitoich, Simcha, V'tuv Leivov, to withstand my Yisurin, Va'avon, Be'simcha, V'tuv Leivov, do what I'm supposed to do, because until I've done what I've done, I'm supposed to do, they can't be actualized either. That's a person feels with this wonderful, elevated mission that he's been given. It gives a person a koyach to be able to withstand and go over the nishoinus that he has, no matter what. If I'm not me, who will be me? No one can do my job in the world. No one. Gamla Moshe Rabbeinu begveid vaitzma lo yimoid ha-tafkid sheli. Moshe Rabbeinu can't do what I'm supposed to do. I can't do what he's supposed to do, and he can't do what I'm supposed to do, and I can't do what you're supposed to do, you can't do what I'm supposed to do. Rakani toich kedei hitgabrut al nisyon noisoi, dealing with, overcoming, getting up, falling, standing up with my unique mission. I'm the only one that can bring the world to fruition by doing what I'm supposed to do. No one else can do that. If I don't do it, it's never going to get done. So there, number one, you have the sense of responsibility. But number two, you have the sense of, hey, I can do this for sure. Because Hashem's not going to ask me to do something that I can't do, and then the whole world just fails. Hashem's a good businessman. If he started a business, it's going to matzliach. That's the very important thing a person needs to know. And Hashem gives us difficult challenges because the only spiritual sipuk you'll ever get, you go looking for sipuk anywhere in the world, all over, all the sipuk the world has to offer us will never give you sipuk. The only thing that'll give you sipuk is overcoming difficult challenges. And you know that. When life's going easy and it's zoreming and everything cool or whatever, you can sometimes feel yich. When you get what you dreamed you'll have, it doesn't do it for you. Yeah, you get gives you a bit of time, a bit of excitement for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, maybe even a few months, and eventually it's just again. The only lasting sipuk, pleasure, is satisfaction that a person gets is the difficult challenges he overcame. It's partial. If you're not giving your children or your talmidim difficult challenges to overcome, you're doing them a big disservice. You're depriving them of the only sipuk they'll ever have in this world. How you do that today is challenging, you have to see. But I'm just saying, that's the person needs to know. On the path of this nisoyin, that's where my sip is going to come from. That's where my pleasure is going to come from. Chelek godol mi'amatana harikshi v'rigoshot hamriris sh'adam chash b'chayet yagoshe kilo ilechlo. Let's stop here. That's an important piece I'm going to deal with. We'll deal with that next week. The person feels I'm not being matzliach. That's a big problem. We'll see. Okay. Just a few announcements. There's no halacha shiur today at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry. I have an urgent meeting that I have to go to, and I have to leave early. So I apologize. That's number one. And number two is Shabbos Malchus tomorrow is at 9:45.